Good afternoon, brethren. We have at home the pleasure of having a small dog. It's a cross between a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel and a poodle. It's commonly called a cavoodle. And when we take it for a walk, it's a pleasure to see how joyful it is. It's trotting down the driveway with its tail wagging. It's a real pleasure. But looking at the term joyful, what is it and what does it mean? We know that it's the second attribute of the fruit of God's Spirit. Ephesians 5:22-23, that's Ephesians 5:22-23, lists these attributes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these, there is no law. Now, when we are healthy and have a good mate, a good income, well-behaved children, in fact, if everything is going well for us, we could say we are living a life full of joy and happiness. But however, in this world, not everything goes as we would like it to. It is a world with many, many sorrows. And as the time gets closer to the end, there will be more and more sorrows. Is it possible to be joyful while suffering some terrible trial? How is it possible to be joyful in such circumstances? In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, most of the definitions of joy centre around the emotion evoked by well-being, by success, or by good fortune. That sounds very logical, yes. Having the objects of desire, great gladness, delight, bliss, etc. But there is another definition that is much more appropriate for those of us who are called, which is having the spiritual gift of a keen or lively pleasure arising from, again looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the prospect of possessing some desire, that is, not from the present, but in the future. It is this godly gift of joy that we will consider today. Now, joy is an attribute of the Holy Spirit in us. So if we only exhibit joy when prospering and do not exhibit joy when suffering, we are only part-time Christians. Part-time Christians will be of little value in the kingdom of God. Just imagine exhibiting love or self-control only some of the time. Now, we know that Christ suffered more than any other human being on the face of the earth. He was misunderstood, mistreated, persecuted, and crucified. Very few of us would have trials as serious as that, although some might have. Yet Christ was a man of joy. He reminded his disciples that his joy would remain in them, that their joy might be full. That's in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 11. He knew why he was born. He was aware of his mission. His eyes were constantly on the goal ahead, beyond the troubles and suffering of the present. Remember that second definition of joy? The prospect of possessing what one desires, but what one does not yet have. Notice in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 22-24. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 22-24. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now these were the instructions that Christ gave to his disciples on the last evening before his crucifixion. We are reminded in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, that's Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had this joy during a terrible trial he was going to go through, because he knew the outcome. The outcome of his death and resurrection would be, among other things, a multitude of brothers and sisters in the family of God forever. Now, joy is a byproduct of faith, another one of the attributes of the Spirit. If we know that all things work together for good, because we love him and are called according to his purpose, then we cannot help but be joyful in all circumstances, because it's in all things. We also must realize that love, a further attribute of the Spirit, cannot be full unless working hand in hand with joy. True love is giving, And Christ said, it is much more blessed or a cause for joy to give than to receive. If we are giving with the right attitude, then we will be joyful. Just remember what James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. That's James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. According to the New Analytical Greek Lexicon, the meaning of the word perfect is brought to completion, fully accomplished, fully developed, that is, achieving the purpose for which we were created. This joy again is defined as the prospect of possessing what one desires, but what one does not yet have, something we are looking forward to greatly with joy. Christ himself also encouraged us when going through trials. In Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, that's Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, we can read, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Now we know one of the apostles suffered very much, and that was the apostle Paul. He was beaten 5 times with 39 lashes, beaten with rods 3 times. In Lystra he was stoned and thought to be dead. In fact, he looked so dead that he was dragged out of the city as a corpse. He was shipwrecked. He was swimming for his life for a night and a day. He was in peril by the Jews and the heathen and false brethren. For a considerable time he was in prison or in chains, a life full of problems, and yet he wrote some very positive and uplifting passages, including the one stating that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, so we could have hope and joy. Paul, even though he went through so many trials, exhibited the attribute of joy totally in his life because he had God's Spirit. That was what gave him the power, even during all these trials, to be joyful at all times, and so to encourage us. Looking through Nave's topical Bible, there are many occurrences of joy mentioned in the book of Psalms. When we examine the life of David, there are examples of him suffering illness, fleeing from pursuers, seeing the wicked prosper, being persecuted, having a close friend betray him. Now, in his life, he even had Saul try to kill him many times. One of his sons raped his own sister. Another was a murderer and a usurper of the kingdom. So there was much cause for sorrow in David's life, but there is a great amount of joy also. Now, was David joyful because he had a lot of money, a lot of wealth? When we read the account of the building of the temple, we note that David left a heap of gold and silver for his son to use in the temple. So he was wealthy. Was he joyful because of a great number of wives and children? Or was it because he was king and had power over all the people? In the book of Psalms, his cause for joy is none of these things. It wasn't his wealth, it wasn't his family, it wasn't his kingdom. It is consistently put down to the knowing the greatness of God, his perfect laws, and his salvation. Knowing that God will bring peace to this world, knowing that God will right all wrongs. In the book of Psalms, joy, joyful, and rejoice occur over 80 times. An example that combines all three of these terms is in Psalm 5, verse 11. That's Psalm 5, verse 11, where we read, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, that is in God. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Another verse which shows David's hope for the future is in Psalm 16, verse 11. That's Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not just joy, but fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This gets back to the definition of the emotion of keen pleasure arising from expected good, and not just any good, but the ultimate good for all. So in conclusion, yes, our dog can be sad, when we leave him home and go shopping, and then very joyful when we come home. But in our case, even in times of sadness or grief, with God's Holy Spirit we can rejoice. In fact, knowing we are called and the wonderful future that lies ahead, we should rejoice. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and this at a time when he was in prison. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It is a second attribute of God's Holy Spirit, joy.